Sri Ishopanishad, Mantra 17. Vayur Anilam Amritam Athedam Vasmantam Shadidam Om Krato Smara Kritang Smara Krato Smara Kritang Smara. Let this temporary body be burnt to ashes, and let the air of life be merged with the totality of air. Now, O my Lord, please remember all my sacrifices, and because you are the ultimate beneficiary, please remember all that I have done for you. The temporary material body is certainly a foreign dress. Bhagavad Gita clearly says that after the destruction of the material body, the living entity is not annihilated, nor does he or she lose one's identity. The identity of the living entity is never impersonal or formless. On the contrary, it is the material dress that is formless and which takes a shape according to the form of the indestructible person. No living entity is originally formless, as is wrongly thought by those with a poor fund of knowledge. This mantra verifies the fact that the living entity exists after the annihilation of the material body. In the material world, material nature displays wonderful workmanship by creating varieties of bodies for the living beings according to their propensities for sense gratification. The living entity who wants to taste stool is given a material body that is quite suitable for eating stool, that of a hog. Similarly, one who wants to eat the flesh and blood of other animals may be given a tiger's body equipped with suitable teeth and claws. But the human being is not meant for eating flesh, nor does one have any desire to taste stool, even in the most aboriginal state. Human teeth are so made that they can chew and cut fruit and vegetables, although there are two canine teeth, so that the primitive humans can eat flesh if they so desire. But in any case, the material bodies of all animals and men are foreign to the living entity. They change according to the living entity's desire for sense gratification. In the cycle of evolution, the living entity changes bodies one after another. When the world was full of water, the living entity took an aquatic form. Then he or she passed to vegetable life, from vegetable life to worm life, from worm life to bird life, from bird life to animal life, and from animal life to the human form. The highest developed form is the human form when it is possessed of the full sense of spiritual knowledge. The highest development of one's spiritual sense is described in this mantra. One should give up the material body, which will be turned to ashes, and allow the air of life to merge into the eternal reservoir of air. The living being's activities are performed within the body through the movements of different kinds of air, known in summary as prana vayu. The yogis generally study how to control the airs of the body. The soul is supposed to rise from one circle of air to another until it rises to the Brahmarandra, or highest circle. From that point, the perfect yogi can transfer him or herself to any planet one likes. The process is to give up one material body and then enter into another. But the highest perfection of such changes occurs only when the living entity is able to give up the material body altogether, as suggested in this mantra, and enter into the spiritual atmosphere, where he or she can develop a completely different type of body, a spiritual body, which never has to meet death or change. Here in this material world, material nature forces the living entity to change his or her body due to one's different desires for sense gratification. These desires are represented in the various species of life, from those of germs to the most perfected material bodies like those of Lord Brahma and the demigods. All of these living entities have bodies composed of matter in different shapes. The intelligent man sees oneness not in the variety of the bodies, but in the spiritual identity. The spiritual spark, which is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, is the same whether in a body of a hog or in the body of a demigod. The living entity takes on different bodies according to one's pious and vicious activities. The human body is highly developed and has full consciousness. According to Bhagavad Gita, the most perfect man surrenders unto the Lord after many, many lifetimes of culturing knowledge. The culture of knowledge reaches perfection only when the knower comes to the point of surrendering unto the Supreme Lord, Vasudeva. Otherwise, even after attaining knowledge of one's spiritual identity, if one does not come to the point of knowing that the living entities are eternal parts and parcels of the whole, and that they can never become the whole, then one has to fall down again into the material atmosphere. Indeed, one must fall down, even if one has become one with the Brahma Jyoti. As we have learned from previous mantras, the Brahma Jyoti emanating from the transcendental body of the Lord is full of spiritual sparks that are all individual entities with full sense of existence. Sometimes these living entities want to enjoy their senses, and therefore they are placed in the material world to become false lords under the dictation of the senses. The desire for lordship is the material disease of the living being, for under the spell of sense enjoyment, one transmigrates to the various bodies manifested in the material world. Becoming one with the Brahma Jyoti does not represent mature knowledge, but only by surrendering unto the Lord completely and developing one's sense of spiritual service does one reach the highest perfectional stage. In this mantra, the living entity prays to enter the spiritual kingdom of God after relinquishing his or her material body and material air. The devotee prays to the Lord to remember his or her activities and the sacrifices one has performed before his or her material body is turned into ashes. One makes this prayer at the time of death with full consciousness of one's past deeds and of the ultimate goal. One who is completely under the rule of material nature remembers the heinous activities one performed during the existence of one's material body and consequently gets another material body after death. The Bhagavad Gita confirms this truth. Yang yang vapi smaran bhavam tyajati ante kalevaram tang tam evaiti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers while quitting the body, O son of Kunti, that state he or she will attain without fail. Thus, the mind carries the living entity's propensities into the next life. Unlike the simple animals who have no developed mind, the dying human being can remember the activities of his or her life like dreams at night. Therefore, one's mind remains surcharged with material desires, and consequently, one cannot enter into the spiritual kingdom with a spiritual body. The devotees, however, develop a sense of love for Godhead by practicing devotional service to the Lord. And even if at the time of death a devotee does not remember his or her service to the Lord does not forget the devotee. This prayer is given to remind the Lord of the devotee's sacrifices. But even if there is no such reminder, the Lord does not forget the service rendered by his pure devotee. The Lord clearly describes his intimate relationship with his devotees in the Bhagavad Gita. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he or she is engaged in devotional service to me, one is to be considered saintly because he or she is properly situated in one's determination. Such a devotee quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, Vaishyas, as well as Shudras, they can attain the supreme destination. How much more this is so of the righteous Brahmins, devotees, and saintly kings. Therefore, having come to this temporary, miserable world, engage in loving service unto me. Therefore, engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains these verses in this way. One should thus regard a devotee of Krishna to be on the right path of the saints. Even though such a devotee may seem to be sudurachar, or a person of loose character, one should try to understand the real purport of the word sudurachar. A conditioned soul has to act for double functions, namely for the maintenance of the body and again for self-realization. Social status, mental development, cleanliness, austerity, nourishment, and the struggle for existence are all for the maintenance of the body. The self-realization part of one's activities is executed in one's occupation as a devotee of the Lord, and thus one performs actions in that connection also. One must perform these two different functions along parallel lines. Because a conditioned soul cannot give up the maintenance of his or her body, the proportion of activities for maintenance of the body decreases, however, in proportion to the increase in devotional service. As long as the portion of devotional service does not come to the right point, there is a chance for an occasional exhibition of worldliness. But it should be noted that such worldliness cannot continue for long, because by the grace of the Lord, such imperfections will come to an end very shortly. Therefore, the path of devotional service is the only right path. And if one is on the right path, then even an occasional occurrence of worldliness does not hamper one in advancement of self-realization. The facilities of devotional service are denied the impersonalists because they are attached to the Brahma Jyoti feature of the Lord. As suggested in previous mantras, they cannot penetrate the Brahma Jyoti because they do not believe in the personality of Godhead. Their business is mostly word jugglery and mental speculation. Consequently, the impersonalists pursue a fruitless labor, as confirmed in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Klesho adhikataraste-syam avyakta-chatta-setasam. All the facilities suggested in this mantra can be easily obtained by constant contact with the personal feature of the Absolute Truth. Devotional service to the Lord consists essentially of 9 transcendental activities. Hearing about the Lord, glorifying the Lord, remembering the Lord, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshiping the Lord, offering prayers to the Lord, serving the Lord, enjoying friendly association with the Lord, surrendering everything unto the Lord. These 9 principles of devotional service, taken all together or one by one, help a devotee to remain constantly in touch with God. In this way, at the end of life, it is easy for the devotee to remember the Lord. By adopting only one of these 9 principles, the following renowned devotees of the Lord were able to achieve the highest perfection. By hearing of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit, the hero of Srimad Bhagavatam, attained the desired result. Just by glorifying the Lord, Shukadeva Goswami, the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, attained perfection. By praying to the Lord, Akura attained the desired result. By remembering the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj attained the desired result. By worshipping the Lord, Prithru Maharaj attained perfection. By serving the lotus feet of the Lord, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, attained perfection. By rendering personal service to the Lord, Hanuman attained the desired result. Through his friendship with the Lord, Arjuna attained the desired result. By surrendering everything he had to the Lord, Maharaj Bali attained the desired result. Actually, the explanation of this mantra and practically of all the mantras of the Vedic hymns is summarized in Vedanta Sutra and properly explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature fruit of the Vedic tree of wisdom. In Srimad Bhagavatam, this particular mantra is explained in the questions and answers between Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadeva Goswami at the very beginning of their meeting. Hearing and chanting of the science of God is the basic principle of devotional life. Hearing and chanting of the science of God is the basic principle of devotional life. The complete Bhagavatam was heard by Maharaj Parikshit and chanted by Shukadeva Goswami. Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva because Shukadev was a greater spiritual master than any great yogi or transcendentalist of his time. Maharaj Parikshit's main question was, what is the duty of every man, specifically at the time of death? Shukadeva Goswami answered, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Sroktavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyaschikshata Vayam. Everyone who desires to be free from all anxieties should always hear about, glorify, and remember the personality of Godhead, who is the supreme director of everything, who is the supreme extinguisher of all difficulties, and who is the supersoul of all living entities. So-called human society is generally engaged at night in sleeping and having sex, and during the daytime earning as much money as possible, or else in shopping for family maintenance. People have very little time to talk about the personality of Godhead or to inquire about Him. They have dismissed God's existence in so many ways, primarily by declaring Him to be impersonal. That is to say, that God is without sense perception. But in the Vedic literature, whether the Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra, Bhagavad Gita, or Srimad Bhagavatam, it is declared that the Lord is a sentient being and is supreme over all other living entities. His glorious activities are identical with Himself. One should therefore not indulge in hearing and speaking of the rubbish activities of worldly politicians and so-called big men in society. But one should mold his or her life in such a way that one can engage in godly activities without wasting a second. Sri Ishopanishad directs us toward such godly activities. Unless one is accustomed to devotional practice, what will he or she remember at the time of death, when the body is dislocated? And how can one pray to the Almighty Lord to remember his or her activities? Sacrifice means denying the interest of the senses. One has to thus learn this art by employing the senses in the service of the Lord during one's lifetime. One can thus utilize the results of such practice at the time of death.